Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Ayin Aleph. We're in the very last week of Maseches Bava Basra, Bezos Hashem starting Sanhedrin on Sunday. We left off on daf Kuf Ayin Amid Beis. We read the Mishnah. Let's just read it again, just to get back into it. So the Mishnah in Kuf Ayin Amid Beis, it said, Misha para mixas chovo, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yachlif. If someone had already paid up part of a chov, he owed $1,000, and he paid up $500, so Rabbi Yehuda says that the halacha is yachlif. You write up a new shtar for him. Tear up the old shtar that said he owed $1,000. Write a new shtar that says he owes $500. Rabbi Yossi Omer Yichtov Shover. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you can keep the old shtar. You should just write a shover. Write a receipt that says that he received $500 already. Amr Rabbi Yehuda Nimtza Zet Sarich Lio Shomer Shover Min Achbarim. So Rabbi Yehuda says it will then turn out that the borrower is going to have to watch over his shover and make sure that it doesn't get ruined, it doesn't get damaged. Otherwise, the lender will be able to pull out a shtar that says he owes $1,000 still. Amla Rabbi Yossi Kach Yafalov Lo Yera Kocho Shel Zet. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with making the borrower watch over the shover. That's actually very appropriate. If you look at Rashbam, Amar Le Rabbi Yossi Kach Yafalov Lemalve Shialove Bedaygas Shimur Shovro. It's appropriate to allow the malve, the lender, to allow him that right, that advantage, that the lover should have to worry about watching over the shofar. V'loha malve, the ever lover, leish malve k'damrin b'gemara. The Gemara is going to point out that the relationship between the lover and malve is such that the malve should have the advantage. After all, the malve is the one who lent him the money. So if we're going to give him a slight advantage, that's perfectly fine. If the lover is going to have to watch over the shofar, that's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with giving that the lover that extra responsibility. So says the Gemara, Amrav Hunamarav, Ein halacha lo k'Rabbi Yehuda v'lo k'Rabbi Yossi. Rav Huna Merav says that the halacha, here you have Rav arguing on both shittos in the Mishnah. He says the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, and it's not like Rabbi Yossi. Rather, what is the halacha? What do you do if someone paid back part of a chov? Ela beis din mekarin ashtar v'kosin lo shtar achar mizman rishon. Beis din rips up the shtar and writes another shtar from the earlier time. Why is that any different than Rabbi Yehuda? Didn't Rabbi Yehuda say we rip up the shtar and write another shtar? So the difference is that Rabbi Yehuda said yachlif. He didn't say who is yachlif. He didn't say who rips up the shtar. Apparently what Rav is adding that Rabbi Yehuda did not say is that only the Beis Din is authorized to do this. Edim themselves cannot do this. If you look at Rashbam, Ein halacha lo k'Rabbi Yehuda shomer yachlif, v'afilu lichtov lo mizman rishon al yidei edim below Beis Din, k'dem farish va'azil. D'lo alimi edim l'kro ashtar u'lahachlif l'gvos mizman rishon. Edim are not authorized to tear up an old shtar, write a new shtar that's going to have the previous date of the old shtar in it. Edim can't create such a shibud by writing a shtar that has a date that was from a long time ago to replace an old shtar that had a date that was from a long time ago. So he says, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and obviously Rav is against Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi says you write a shofar. Rav says, no, don't write a shofar, you write a new shtar. So Rav is against both shittos in the Mishnah. So says the Gemara, Amar Lei, Rav Nachman, L'Rav Huna, V'Armi L'Rav Yirmiyah Barab L'Rav Huna, Ish Mielei L'Rav HaBraisa, had Rav heard the following Braisa, Titania Edim Mekarenes Hashtar, V'Kosvon Hashtar Achim, Rizman Rishon, Hava Hadarbei. Had Rav heard the Braisa, where it says Beferish in the Braisa, that according to Rav Yehuda, the Edim are allowed to rip up the shtar and write another shtar, Rav would have changed his mind to conform with the Braisa. And it would have been moda that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and that Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that the Edom are allowed to do it. Rav would have been moda that the Edom are allowed to do it. You don't need to wait for Beis Din to tear up the shtar. Amr Lei, so he said back, no, Shmielei, Velohadarbei. What made you think that Rav didn't hold like that, didn't hear of that Braisa? Absolutely, Rav heard of that Braisa. And nevertheless, he didn't change his mind. And he had logic to assume that there's a difference between Beis Din and Edim. Bishlama Beis Dina, I understand very well, Beis Din, Alimi Lafkoi Mamona, Beis Din, who are authorized to even be Mafkia Mamon, who are even authorized to take money away from one party and give it to another party, and that's the concept of Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker. We discussed recently the Machlokas Rishonim and that reflects itself in Machlokas Ksos and the Sivis, whether Hefker Hefker Beis Din, Hefker even allows Beis Din to be makne to his second party, or only to be mafkir from the first party. But either way, Beis Din has the ability, at the very least, to confiscate money from somebody, to take away money from somebody, so they also have the ability to write a new shtar with a shibud that goes back several months. How so? Here you had Reuven lent Shimon $1,000 on January 1st. Shimon paid back $500 on February 1st. So what's Beis Din going to do on February 1st? They're allowed to write a shtar that says that Reuven lent Shimon $500 on January 1st, even though right now it's February 1st. They can create a shibud going back to January 1st by writing a new shtar. What authorizes them to do that? Because they could do whatever they want with other people's money. That's the concept of Hefker Beis Din Hefker. Ela Edim Sha'asu Shlichusan, Chozun V'Yosun Shlichusan. Edim who already did their Shlichus, meaning they were authorized once by the Lova to write a shtar that with a Shibud already from the previous date. They did that already. They already wrote the shtar. Who further authorizes them to write another shtar that has a shibud back to the previous date? If you look at the Rashbam, Ela Edim Sha'asu Shlichusan, Lichtov Ulehein B'shtar Arishon, He Chosen Vosin Shlichus Acheres, Umi Nasalehem Koach Zeh, or Dimi Nasalehem Koach Zeh, who gave them such a koach? Meaning it's one thing for Beis Din, as Rashbam writes in the top one, El Beis Din Alimi Mafki Mamona, the Hefker Beis Din Hefker, right? You have a concept of Hefker Beis Din Hefker, there's no concept of Hefker Edim Hefker, so Edim certainly are unauthorized to do anything along those lines. So essentially, what do we have over here? You have a Machlokas in the Mishnah between two Tanaim. The Braisa expands or explains the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and Rav says, I don't care what Rabbi Yehuda says, it doesn't make any sense to me. It's more logical that the Edom do not have any right to do anything like this, it's only the Beis Din that has a right to do it. How is Rav allowed to do that? Isn't Rav an Amora? So the Rashbam points out what the Gemara says in several places. Rashbam on Kufayinim Beis, Dibra Masvul Kosin L'Shtar Acher, Lefi Schuma Moshe Chayv Lo Adayin, V'Rav Tanahu Upalig. Rashbam points out it's not a problem for Rav to argue on both Shittos in the Mishnah. Rav is a Tana, he's allowed to argue whatever he wants. That's the idea. Now, just whenever we say Rav Tanahu Upalig, we need to ask ourselves, well, wait a second, does that mean everyone in Rav's generation was a Tana and was authorized to argue? For instance, do we ever find anywhere in Shas Shmuel Tanahu Upalig? Do we ever find anywhere in Shas Rabbi Yochanan Tanahu Upalig? Right, this is an expression that seems to be limited to Rav. So why is it that Rav was a Tana, but the other Bnei Doro, other people that were living in his generation, were not a Tana? It doesn't seem to fit, right? Tosos Maseches Ksubos and Daf Ches Amud Aleph says Yesh Lo Chiyach Rabbi Yochanan Amora Haya. The Avatana, right, you could learn from that Gemara that Rabbi Yochanan was an Amora, because in Ksubas Tav Ches, we ask a Kasha on Rabbi Yochanan from a Tana, we ask Kasha on Rav from a Tana. For Rav, we answer Rav Tanu Upalik, but for Rabbi Yochanan, we don't. So why don't we answer it for Rabbi Yochanan? So it says Tosfos, because Rabbi Yochanan was an Amora. Why? Was Rabbi Yochanan Amora because he was from an earlier generation, from a later generation than Rav? That's not true. They lived in the same generation. Was Rabbi Yochanan Amora because he wasn't as great as Rav? Says the Ritva Maseches Ksuvos. That's also not true. He brings many rays that Rabbi Yochanan was even greater than Rav. That Rabbi Yochanan in no way was had to play second fiddle to Rav. So why is it that Rav was a Tana and Rabbi Yochanan was not a Tana? So part of this, in order to answer this, it's important to realize what the idea of the difference between a Tana and a Amora is. Who made the rule that an Amora is not allowed to argue on a Tana? Whoever said, other than our 5th grade Rebbeim, when we had Eschelus Gemara, who told us that an Amora is not allowed to argue on a Tana. And every Gemara in Shas, we're already 2/3 of the way done, thank God, and every Gemara in Shas that says, how can this Amora say this? What are you going to do with that Mishnah? What are you going to do with that Braisa? But who said? Why? Why is it that an Amora is not allowed to argue on a Tana? Right? We just had yesterday that an Amora has no problem arguing on an Amora, right? That we just had in the top of Daf Kufayin Amud Aleph. It's no disrespect to say that V'tiflok, yes, so I argue. So there's nothing wrong with me arguing with one Amora arguing on another Amora. So who made the rule? So it's a Kesef Mishnah at the beginning of the second parak of Hilchas Mamrim. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Mamrim, Beizna gadol shadarshu ba'achas min amidos kfi mashenir beinem shadin kach v'danu din. If the beizna gadol follows the yud gimel midos shatar and drashes ben and derives a halacha from normal yud gimel midos shatar and drashes ben, va'amad achreim beizin acher, and then another beizin comes after them, v'nira lo tam acher listaroso adin, and they come up with a reason to contradict or to argue on that din, ha'reza sosir v'dan kfi mashenir beinav. They're allowed to judge based on the way they see it. They have to determine the halacha based on how they determine the Yud Gimel Midos Shatar and Drash Ben should be employed, and they have to call it like they see it. That's the responsibility of Beis Din. Shenemar El Hashofet Asher Yeh Bayam Mehem Eina Techayv Lelechas Ela Achar Beis Din Shebedarcha. You don't have to go back to previous Batei Din to determine what the halacha is. You go to your Beis Din, the Beis Din in your time, to determine what the halacha is. We don't go backwards in time to determine what the halacha is. And this is a very critical yisod the Rambam lays out over here. This is what Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the Nakdamah to Gris Moshe, that I'm not, one of his tshuvas actually, someone said, how can you argue on Rabbi Kiva Eger? How could you argue? So Rav Moshe said, I'm not greater than Rabbi Kiva Eger, I'm not greater than the Yehuda, I'm not greater than the Chassam Sofer. I don't come up to their ankles, but nevertheless, this is my responsibility as a posek, is to call it like I see it. And if that's against Nodeb Yehuda, so it's against Nodeb Yehuda. If it's against Rabbi Kiva Eger, no. It's not saying that I'm greater, it's just saying that I have a responsibility to call it like I see it. So frek the Kesef Mishnah, Vim Tomar, if Im Kain, if that's the case, Amai lo pligi amorai at Tanai. Why don't Amoraim argue on Tanaim? Dabba kol duchta makshin la morim imasnisin. And I know that they don't, because we always ask on Amoras from Mishnayis. Omi Brysor from Brysos. V'tzorich lomra anoda amri ki haitana. And in order for the Amora to get out of the kasha when they pin him that he's against the Tana, he always has to say, oh no, anoda amri ki haitana. I hold like a different shita in Tanaim. But he has to find the Tana that he sides with. V'im lo yomar kein kashalei, and if he can't find the Tana that's on his side, then it's a kasha on him, then we leave it as a difficulty. But based on what the Rambam's saying, what's the problem? Let Amoraim argue on Tanaim. V'ef shalom arshem yom chasimus ha-mishnah, kimu v'kiblu, shebedoros ha-achronim lo yachloku al ha-rishonim. He says it could be that at the time that they finished writing the Mishnah, at that point, they were mekabel upon themselves not to argue on the earlier generations. And there was a further Kabbalah when the Gemara was finished being written that they decided again that it's not worthwhile to argue on previous generations. From the day of the Chasimus HaTalmud, no one is allowed to argue further. So what does that mean, no one's allowed to argue further? Who created this Isser? So it was the Rabbanim in that generation. They said, you know what? It doesn't make sense for us to argue anymore. Because what are we going to do? We're going to argue all the time, and then it's going to turn out that in 99.9% of the cases that we argue, we're going to be wrong. Meaning we recognize how much greater the previous generations are than us in learning, and it's going to turn out that we're going to be wrong all the time if we argue. Our time is much better spent explaining the Tanaim than arguing on the Tanaim. If we spend our time explaining the Tanaim, we're going to see that trying to be miyashiv the Tanaim, we're going to see that more often than not, we're going to turn out to agree with what they said anyway, because we're going to realize that they were right in the first place. So they were mekabel upon themselves, widely, not to argue on Tanaim. Rabbi Yochanan was mekabel on himself, Shmuel was mekabel upon himself, that whole generation was mekabel upon himself, except for Rav. Rav didn't think he had to make such a Kabbalah about himself. Rav thought that this was too drastic a change, perhaps, to all of a sudden not use his own intellect to argue on Tanaim. Rav Tanahu Palig is not a statement about Rav's stature. It's a statement about Rav's unwillingness to accept upon himself what others in his generation did accept upon themselves, not to argue on Tanaim. So now here you have Rav going against two Tanaim, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, and coming up with his own third shita. Why does he not like Rabbi Yehuda? So that's what we just said in the Gemara, that Rabbi Yehuda says the Edim can rewrite a new shtar when it was partially paid up. Rav says, no, Edim can't do it, only Beis Din is empowered to do it. And Rav explained, Beis Din can do it, Mikoch Hefker, Beis Din Hefker. Edim are not empowered to do it, they don't have any Hefker, Beis Din Hefker. And the Edim who already did their shlichus can't just go write up another shtar. Frak the Gemara 3 lines from the top. Velo? Are Edom really unauthorized to go and write another shtar? Vamar Vidom Rav, Edom Kosun Afilu Asar Shtaros Al Sada Achas. Edom are allowed to write even 10 shtaros if they want on a single field. So you see that Edom are allowed to go and write multiple shtaros. We don't tell them, no, you're only authorized to write once, and you're not authorized to write many times. Now, why would they write many shtaros? So that's what Rashbam adds in, Misha Avad Shtaro, Va'amar Le'edim Kisfuli Acher, meaning afilu asar shtaros means if 10 shtaros, 9 shtaros got lost, so then Edom could keep on writing over and over again to replace lost shtaros. But you see that Edom are absolutely authorized to write new shtaros. If you look at Tosos, Kosun afilu asar shtaros, frak Tosos vim tomar, lemaidus al kadaituch deba achrayus mairi, wait a second, they're writing shtaros, and in the shtaros achrayus nechasim, right? So tikshi hadamar le'el, avul b'shtari mekach memkar kosvin chutz me'achrayos shebo. Why isn't this against the Gemara we just had a couple of days ago? Then when it comes to shtari mekach memkar, and you're writing a replacement, so they have to exclude the achrayos from the shtar. Now we're assuming that Edom are allowed to rewrite as many times as they want with achrayos. So he says, big difference between our sugya and the sugya 3 blad ago. V'yeshlomer de le'el hachi perusho, to who omer avad shtarchovi, v'cheshinan dilma tarif adar tarif. Now what are we afraid of in that case? If a guy's going to come into Beis and say, I lost my shtar, I want another shtar written, so what's going to happen? We're afraid that he's going to find the shtar, or he never really lost it, he's got it in his back pocket, and he's going to keep on being torif, he's going to keep on collecting and recollecting. Aval hach over here, mayri bishir dua lanu shenevad, or inuhu shenisraf. We saw it fall into the ocean. We saw it fall into a fire. We know the shtar isn't coming back. If we know the shtar is not coming back, we know he's never going to try. He's never going to be able to try to collect with this shtar more than once. So then there's nothing for us to be concerned about. And we can write, the Edom can write a new shtar with Achrayus. But don't you see, bottom line is, that it was Rav himself who says that Edom calls to Nafilu Asar Shtaros. Meaning, we're not asking on Rav from Atana. Rav is allowed to argue on Atana. But he's not allowed to argue on himself. Right, he's got to maintain one coherent opinion. So answers the Gemara. Rav Yosef Amar Bishtar Matana, V'Rabba Amar Bishtar Shein Ba'Achrayus. Rav Yosef says, no, you know when we say you can write 10 shtaros one after the other, it's by a shtar matana. A shtar matana is no achrayus l'chasim anyway. Or Rabba says maybe it's not a shtar matana. It could be a shtar mecher, but it's a shtar mecher that doesn't have achrayus. Right, that's the maskan of the Gemara. It can't be that Edom are authorized to write multiple shtaros with achrayus. They can write multiple shtaros without achrayos. In our Mishnah, we're talking about a shtar halva'ah that's going to have achrayos luchasim in it. So that the Edom are not authorized to rewrite a shtar. You need Beis Din in order to be able to do that. Fine. Now, in the course of this discussion, we had first mentioned that Rav disagrees both with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Then the Gemara said, well, if Rav knew the Braisa, he wouldn't disagree with Rabbi Yehuda and the Braisa. And then the Gemara said, yes, he would. Now, what was that Braisa? The Gemara now goes to revisit that Braisa. What did it say in that Braisa? My Braisa. What Braisa were we referring to? Titania, we have the following Braisa. Haresha Yunoshin Bo Elevzuz. A guy owed $1,000. Upara Mehen Chamesh Meozuz. And he already paid $500. Edim Mekarin Es Hashtar. Who tears up the shtar? The Edim, like Rabbi Yehuda, tear up the shtar. V'kosvun lo shtar acher mizman rishon de Rabbi Yehuda. Right? Rabbi Yehuda is explicit that it's the Edim who are authorized to tear up the shtar and write a new shtar from the earlier date, from the date of the original loan, because that's when the shibut should be there already. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, shtar ziyeh munach b'makamono. Don't touch the shtar. Shtar that says Ruvin Hashem $1,000, leave it. Just write a receipt that he already paid $500. Why do we write a shovar? Why don't we just rip up the shtar, write a new shtar? He says two explanations, two reasons that it's better to write a shovar. Achas k'deisha yachuf l'paro. One is that it's a good idea to have the borrower, to have the loveh, have a little pressure on him to pay it back. And so long as he's got to watch over a shovar, there's pressure on him to pay back the rest of the money. Why does that add pressure? Because he realizes that if he loses the shovar, the malva's got a shtar in hand that says that he owes him $1,000. So if he loses the shovar, he's going to be out an additional $500. Whatever he paid back already will not count, because the malva will be able to lie and come to Beis Din and say, I never got any anything, and look, here's my shar that says that I'm owed $1,000. That applies additional pressure on the lova to pay back. And we want the lova to feel additional pressure, especially in light of the fact, some of the Rishonim point out, that very often the psychology of it is that if a person has already paid back part of it, he feels like he's done enough. He doesn't feel a pressure to, you know, pay back the entire balance. You know, why do I have to pay the whole balance? The guy got money from me. He saw money from me already. So he doesn't feel that pressure to pay back the entire balance. So we want to give him a little pressure. So it's good. It's good. Let him watch over a shofar and realize that if he loses the shofar, he's going to be out a lot of money. And the only way he's going to be clean of this is if he pays back the balance of the money. Va'achas, and the other reason why we'd rather write him a shofar, is k'dei sheyigva mizman rishon, is so that the collection can be, the shibud can go back from the time of the original loan. If you just write a new shtar, doesn't the new shtar have to be written from today's date, not the date of the original loan? So it would be better to write a shovar, and this way, the when the malva comes to collect the rest of the money, he's going to have the original shtar that has the original date on it. So, frankly, Mar, that second reason doesn't really disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda didn't say that when you write a new shtar, you write a new shtar from today's date. Rabbi Yehuda also said, let the Edim rip up the old shtar and write a new shtar for less money, meaning reflecting the fact that some of it's been paid back, from when? From the old date! So what's Rabbi Yossi saying, that this is why you have to write a shofar? Rabbi Yehuda was sensitive to that concern already. For Rabbi Yehuda nami mizman rishon ka'amar. Rabbi Yehuda himself said that you go back and pay from the and write the shtar from the original date. So hachi kamar le Rabbi Yossi le Rabbi Yehuda. No, this is what Rabbi Yossi was telling Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi wasn't sure what Rabbi Yehuda held in terms of the date. So Rabbi Yossi says to Rabbi Yehuda, imizman rishon ka'amrit, if you're saying that the new shtar that's written should be written from the earlier date, from the Zman Rishon, paligna lach b'chada, then I disagree with you about one point. What's the point I disagree with you about? I think it's better to write a shofar to apply extra pressure on the lova. Imizman sheni kamrit, and if you're saying that the new shtar should be written from today's date, from the later date, after it was partially paid back, paligna lach betarti, then I have two reasons to disagree with you. I disagree with you about, and I think that a shofar should be written, number one, because we want to apply pressure on the lova, and number two, because it's not right to not have the shibud go back to the date of the original loan. How could Rabbi Yossi have gotten confused about what Rabbi Yehuda said? Right, Rabbi Yehuda was pretty clear. What was the lashon of Rabbi Yehuda? Mekarin es hashtar, vekosin lashtar acher, mizman rishon. Right, Rabbi Yehuda was clear as day that it said Mizman Rishon. So Tosus points out, Mizman Rishon, Rabbi Yehuda lo pirish l'Rabbi Yossi Mizman Rishon. That wasn't part of Rabbi Yehuda's statement to Rabbi Yossi. He never said those words. Aval Braisa Yishnuya b'milsik Rabbi Yehuda l'fiya emes. The Braisa was formulated to reflect what we know to be Rabbi Yehuda's true opinion. Rabbi Yehuda may not have been as clear as he could have been when he stated his opinion, and he didn't say Mizman Rishon, and that's what caused Rabbi Yossi to get confused, and Rabbi Yossi to say, well, I'm not sure what you hold, but if you hold that it's not Mizman Rishon, then I have two problems with you. If you hold it is Mizman Rishon, I have one problem with you. But Rabbi Yud himself in fact held that it is Mizman Rishon, and therefore the Braisa is worded in such a way to reflect that Rabbi Yehuda's true Shita. And there's a Rashi that seems to learn that Rabbi Yehuda holds it's not Mizman Rishon, but that's what the Rishonim point out. I think it's a Rashi in Ksubas that says that way. But the Rishonim point out that Rashi is against the Maskan of the Gemara over here. The Gemara is very clear that Rabbi Yehuda holds it's Mizman Rishon. Okay, Tan Rabbanon. So we have a Braisa as follows. Shtar Shizmanu Kasu B'Shabbos. Let's say you have a Shtar that the Zman of the Shtar turns out to be on Shabbos. O Basar B'Tishrei. Or it's on the 10th day of Tishrei, happens to be Yom Kippur. So we know that Jews don't write shtaros on Shabbos, and they don't write shtaros on Yom Kippurim. So what do we assume about the shtar? Should we assume it's automatically pasul? So shtar mu'ucharhu. Now the assumption is that it's a shtar mu'uchar v'kasher, meaning they post-dated the shtar. That really the loan happened earlier, and they post-dated the shtar, meaning a post-dated shtar is perfectly kosher. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Yossi posel. Rabbi Yossi says no. Shtar mu'uchar is pasul. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, wait a second. Velo ma'isa b'lefanecha b'tzipori. You, Rabbi Yossi, had a shaila that came to you in the town of Tzipori v'chsharta, and you were totally okay with it. You were machshir a shtar mu'uchar. Amar lo kishchsharti b'zeh chsharti. Rabbi Yossi says, no, I wasn't machshir stam shtar mu'uchar. I was machshir shtar mu'uchar like this, where the date that was written in the shtar couldn't be true. That's the only kind of shtar mu'uchar that I was ever machshir. Rabbi Dinami b'zakamar. Yeah, but isn't that exactly what Rabbi Yehuda is saying? That when the date is Yom Kippur, so then it's going to be kosher. So Amar Rabbi Das, Hakol Modim. So Rabbi Das says, you have to understand what the machlokas is over here. Hakol Modim, everyone would agree. Shem huskatnu la'nasol shoshtar, v'nimtzei onasol mechavenes b'shabbos l'basar b'tishrei, shoshtar mu'uchar hu b'kosher. Everyone would agree that if you look carefully at the date, and the date turns out to be Shabbos, or the date turns out to be Yom Kippurim, there's no debate. Everyone would agree that it's going to be kosher, because obviously no one's going to be misled to think that that shtar was written on the date in the shtar. So it's obviously, everyone would agree in such a case that it's going to be kosher. That there's no doubt. Now it's interesting, the lashon that the Gemara uses, huskaknu la'unaso shel shtar, we try to analyze the date of the shtar, and it turns out it's mechavenes b'shabbos l'basar b'tishrei. What that leads you to believe is the shtar does not say on it Asar B'Tishrei, nor does it say on it Yom Shvi B'Shabbos, right? Yom Shabbos Kodesh, whatever. It doesn't say that it's on. It doesn't say explicitly it's on Shabbos. You have to say, right? If you look at Tosos, the Shemuskakn la Edusu Shel Shtar Halish Namashma She'ein Kasav LaHedyakach. It doesn't say it explicitly. Ella, the Girsa over here is Yud Zayin B'Nisan V'Hu V'Rosh Chodesh Chal B'Yom Chamishi. Or Yud Zayin B'Nisan Mechavenes B'Shabbos. Meaning, what happens that the date of the shtar is written in terms of month and day of the month, and it turns out if we do the cheshbon in terms of Rosh Chodesh, it will turn out that we'll figure out that the date on the shtar is Shabbos, but it never says Shabbos on the shtar. So Frecht also, if it never says Shabbos on the shtar, why aren't we just told that they made a mistake? B'kivud Yarcha, right? Don't we sometimes assume that establishing the Rosh Chodesh was fairly complicated, and getting the word out of when Rosh Chodesh was sometimes is fairly complicated? So maybe the date is only off because, not because it was written on, or not because it's Shtar Mu'uchar. No, maybe it was written on what they really thought was that date, but they just made a mistake in the Kivud Yarcha. That's Tosfos Kasha. So Tosfos says you have to say that the date is in the second half of the month, that it was Achar Rubo Shel Chodesh. And since it was in the second half of the month, so then you're not going to make a mistake on the Kivud Yarcha anymore. Right? That obviously is only within the Shabbos side, within the Yom Kippurim side. Right? Tosfos has a different analysis, but let's leave that for now. So either way, bottom line is, says Rabbi Pidas, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi are going to agree that if the date on the shtar turns out to be Shabbos or Yom HaKippurim, that's clearly a shtar mu'uchar and it's going to be kosher. How do you know it's not a shtar muktam? You just know that it's wrong, right? You don't know that it's mu'uchar. Who says mu'uchar? Muktam would be possible, by the way. Shtar muktam is no good. So if you look at the Rashbam on the third wide line, Behedya aminan kiyum shtaros midrabanan hu, dimidaraisa lo be'inan. The whole concept of kiyum shtaros, of having to certify a shtar, is a concept midrabanan. Midal raisa, there's no requirement of kiyum shtaros. To kaim l'kreish shlag, shtam reidim achsumen al shtar, nasak mishnech reidusun bebezdin. When you have edim signed on the shtar, that's it. You trust them. That's good enough. V'rabanan hu da'atzruchinu kiyum. And the rabbanan required kiyum. But what do you see from that? From the principle that edim signed on the shtar are assumed to be good, that shows that the burden of proof is on anybody who wants to passel a shtar. The assumption is that every shtar is kosher until proven otherwise. We establish this shtar as being mu'uchar. And anyone who wants to say that it's muktam and therefore it's pasul, you're going to have to prove that. Because typically you have a shtar with edim that are kosher signed on the shtar, that's good enough. You don't need anything more than that. So if you want to prove that it's pasul, it's a love lahavi raya that it's pasul. So that there's no dispute about. If it, the date on the shtar is Shabbos, the date on the shtar is the 10th day of Tishrei, nothing to argue about. For sure, everyone's going to agree it's kosher, it's a shtar mu'uchar. Lo nechluku el b'shtar mu'uchar bi'alma. The whole machlokas on the top of Mbez is b'shtar mu'uchar bi'alma. By a regular shtar mu'uchar. Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei damar ein kosvin shovar v'lo nafing minei churba. Rabbi Yehuda's l'shitaso, that who says that you're not going to write a receipt, and therefore nothing bad is going to come out of having a shtar mu'uchar. Rabbi Yossi l'tamei damar kosin shovar. Rabbi Yossi holds in general we do write a shovar v'nafing minei churva, and therefore having a shtar mu'uchar is going to be problematic. Meaning when it's a shtar mu'uchar that says Yom Kippur or Shabbos, so everyone's going to realize that it's mu'uchar, and therefore nothing bad could happen because no one is going to think the date in the shtar is the real date. So no one's going to do anything bad. But what could happen if you have a shtar mu'uchar where the date is not so obviously wrong, right? Where people might think the date is for real? Very simple case. You have someone, Reuven lends money to Shimon on January 1st, right? They write the date on the shtar, March 1st. Now Shimon pays back part of the money on February 1st. If Shimon has a shover that says, look, I paid back $500 on February 1st, Reuven is just going to say, oh yeah? Well, I have a date that says, I have a shtar that says March 1st, you borrowed $1,000. So the $500 you paid back on February 1st weren't toward this shtar. You still owe me the full $1,000 toward this shtar. That's why if you write a shovar rather than rip up the shtar, your shtar mu'uchar is going to be a problem. A shtar mu'uchar is going to be problematic because a shovar versus a shtar mu'uchar, the shtar mu'uchar, the date on the shtar mu'uchar is going to allow a person, a malveh, to unethically collect more money than he should be able to collect. And that's what Rabbi Yossi says. If you write a shovar, it's going to be terrible. We can't allow a shtar mu'uchar. Rabbi Yudu says we don't write a shovar. As soon as he pays back, we rip up the old shtar anyway. We write a new one. So then there's no problem. Why not make a shtar mu'uchar? It doesn't cost anybody anything. Or except for the malva, who agrees to have it cost him something. Right? So, Amar Rav Huna Breid Rav Yoshua, Afilu Mad Yamar Kosvin Shovar, Rav Huna Breid Rav Yoshua says as follows. Even if you say we do write a shovar, Hani Milia Palga. We're only going to write a shovar on part of a loan. Avla Kule Lo. Let's say I paid back the whole thing. I borrowed $1,000, I paid back $1,000. You're not going to write a shovar on that. So says the Gemara, Velohi, but that's not true. Meaning we don't paskin that way. Afilu Akule Kasvin, and we write a shovar even on the entire loan. Kihad Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, like the story of Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, have a Masak Bezuzei Rabbi Abba. Asal kamed Rabbi Chanina, so there was money owed, and they went to Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi. Amrle havli zuze, so he said, I want my money back. Amrle havli shtaroi, he says, sure, I'll give you your money back, no problem. Just give me my shtar back. Ushkol zuzcha, and then you can take your money. Amrle shtar chayirkasli, he says, I'm sorry, I lost the shtar. I'd love to give you the shtar back. I lost the shtar. Echtov loch taver, but don't worry, I'll write you a shovar. So will that be good enough? Will that suffice if I just write you a shovar instead of the shtar? So he said, Harav Shmuel Damri Tarvayu in Kosun Shovar. Sorry, Rav and Shmuel both say we don't write a shovar. So he said, wait a second. Rav and Shmuel both say you don't write a shovar? So he said, all due respect to Rav and Shmuel. Man Yavlan Me'afrid Rav and Shmuel Raminan Ba'ainin. Halavai, we had the dust of Rav and Shmuel and we could put it in our eyes, which is apparently a phrase that means I respect them a lot. I think they're really wonderful, they're great. But Harabi Yochanan Vahare Shlakish Damri Tarvayu Kosun Shovar. But Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish both say that we do write a shovar, again, highlighting the fact that when an Amora argues on another Amora, it's not because he holds that he's greater than the other Amora. Like we said, you don't need to be greater than Rambam in the second paragraph of Mamrim. You don't need to be greater in order to argue. No, we hold Rabbi and Shmuel were much greater. That's not disputable. That's not the issue over here. It's just that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish disagree, and they're entitled to disagree. It's their honest to goodness opinion that they hold it differently, and they hold that Kosvin Shovar. V'chein kiyasa Rav, nam Rabbi Eloi, Kosvin Shovar. And Rav says, nam Rabbi Eloi, we write a Shovar. Umistavr to Kosvin Shovar. And it's most logical to assume. We have to use our intellect. It's most logical to assume that we write a Shovar. Disal kadai tachein Kosvin Shovar. Because if you're going to say you don't write a Shovar, so think about that for a second. Avet shtaro shalzeh, yochel ala v'chadi. So if I lend somebody $1,000 and then I lose the shtar that says that he owes me $1,000, so the other guy is just off the hook, he can just celebrate, all right, no problem, right? He's just completely off the hook because the shtar is lost. Why can't he get paid back and let him write a shovar? So it's not fair. Maskefla Abaye, so Abaye says, well, that's not really a very strong argument, because Velamai, Kosvin Shovar, because if you say you do write a Shovar, does that mean that everyone is treated fairly? Avad Shovro Shalzeh, Yochal Halav Echadi? So what if the Lova loses the Shovar? So now the Malva could celebrate. Yay, I get to collect the second time, right? I get to use that shtar again because the guy lost his shovar. So why is that fair? Amar Le Rava. So Rava says, well, given the option of either giving the Malva an unfair advantage or giving the Lova an unfair advantage, in Eved Lova Lish Malva. Yeah, we'd rather give the Malva an unfair advantage than to give the Lova an unfair advantage, because after all, that's the nature of the relationship between Malva and Lova, that the Malva is the one who lent the money, and because he's the one who lent the money, he's entitled to have a little bit of an advantage. And that's perfectly fine. That's much better than having the Lova have an unfair advantage. So again, all these Amoraim said that we don't write a shovar. Frekt Rav Elchanan, according to this shita of Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, that we don't write a shovar, it will turn out that if the shtar chov, if the shtar chov was in the Lova's hands, right? Why is this any different than Ein Yodea in Paraticha, where the Lova is chayiv to pay, because he's bevadei cheskas chiyuv and a safek if he paid back. So again, so Rav Chan says l'shita zu she'in kos from shovar. It according to this shita that we do not write a shovar when the money is paid back. So if the shtar chov remains by the Lova, why don't we say that this is just like Ein Yodea in Paraticha, where someone says, I don't know if I paid you back, where the Lova has to pay, because we know that he's for sure chayiv to pay, and we just don't know if he paid. So over here as well, there's a vadei chiv, because everyone agrees that there was a chov in the shtar. The Lova wants to get out of the chiv, because he's going to say that if I pay back, it's going to be bali de hefsit for me, because the guy is going to ask me to pay back a second time later on. So that's not a vadai, that's a safek. Safek, he might ask me to pay him back a second time, right? I know for sure I owe the money, but it could be, maybe, that if I pay the money, I'm going to have to end up paying it twice because he didn't come back to get it from me again. That's a maybe. Shami Yavali Dei Hefsid Basid. Maybe he's going to come to lose ultimately. So shouldn't he be chayiv to pay anyway? From a maybe, you can't get out of paying. So the Rav Elchanan's mitarets that when there's a cheskas chiyuv, we say that that the guy has not paid back, but Shema Yifra Omrim, right? We're not going to say again when there's a cheskas chiyuv, we're going to say Shelo Para, that he has not yet paid back. But Shema Yifra, we will say, meaning we're not going to say a Shema on what has happened, but on what will happen, we're going to be cautious. When it's Ein Yodei in Paraticha, so that's a question about the past, as opposed to a question about the future, then the Lova has a right to be cautious about what could be done to him in the future. That's how Rav Elchanan deals with it. Where do we find a precedent for distinguishing between a concern about the past and a concern about the future? So we have such a precedent. Gabi Cheskas Chai. We have a Cheskas Chai. We say Shema Meis. We don't say Shema Meis, but we do say Shema Yamos, right? Shema Yamos. Everyone will eventually die. So a future concern is a real concern. A past concern, not so much. Says Gemara Vayter Tanan Hasam. Shtari Chov HaMukdam Psulim VaMukharim Ksherin. Right? Predated documents are possible. Postdated documents are kosher. Amra from Nuno Loshanu El Shtari Halva'a. That's only true by loan documents. Al Shtari Mecha Chamemkar Afilu Mukharim Nami Psulim. But by documents of sale, then even if it's Mu'uchar, it's going to be possible. My time, why is it going to be possible even if it's Mu'uchar? Zimnin to Mazman Le Arab in Nisan. Sometimes you're going to sell land in Nisan. V'kasle B'tishrei, you can write the date in the document post-dated 6 months. U'misramile zuze beni beni. And the guy who sold the land, now in general, when people sold land, they always wanted to get it back. They always felt bad selling land that belonged to their father. So what did they do? The guy came up with money sometime between Nisan and Tishrei. V'zavan le minei, and he bought back his property. V'chimati Tishrei, when Tishrei comes, mapakle. The person is going to pull out the shtar that says that I bought this land in Tishrei. And he's going to say, yeah, I repurchased it from you in Tishrei. And that's going to be untrue. It's only because it was post-dated. So, shouldn't you worry the same thing about shtari alva'a? Zimnin di yazif b'nisan. Sometimes the loan is going to happen in Nisan. But they're going to write in the shtar that the loan in fact happened in Tishrei. And the Lova is going to come up with money in between, and he's going to pay back the loan based on the money that he comes up with in between. V'amr leha, Avli Shtaraya, and he's going to say, please give me back my shtar because I'm paying you back. Varmalei, the Malva is going to say, sorry, Irkasli, I lost the shtar. The Kasavle Tavra, here, and he writes him a shover instead. And what's going to happen? V'chimati Zimne, when the Zman to pay back comes up, Mapikle, he's going to pull out the shtar with a later date, and he's going to say, yes, you paid me back, and in the shover it says that you paid me back. That was for a previous loan. Now here I have a shtar with a later date that you haven't paid me back on. Varmalei, and he says to him, Amalei hashtu hu diyazavta. He's going to say, yeah, hashtu diyazavta minai. Now is when you borrowed from me. So why aren't we concerned about the same thing by a loan? Why is it only by a shtar mecher that we're concerned about such shtick being pulled? So kasavar, ein kos fin shovar. Yeah, because he holds ein kos fin shovar. I mean, you only have to be concerned about that if you're going to write a receipt. If you don't write a receipt, then there's no concern by shtari halva. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the discussion of what we do bizman hazeh in terms of writing shovros and how we deal with discrepancy in dates.